5. The killing time was still racing away from the ship's store at Pittance, at close to its maximum sustainable velocity. Any faster, and it would have started to degrade the performance of its engines. It was approaching a position about halfway between Pittance and the Accession when it cut power and let itself coast down towards light speed. It deliberately avoided doing its skidding to a stop routine. Instead, it carefully extended a huge light-seconds-wide field across the skein of real space, and slowly dragged itself to an absolute stop, its position within the three dimensions of normal space fixed and unchanging. Its only appreciable vector of movement was produced by the expansion of the universe itself, the slow drawing away from the assumed central point of the reality which all 3D matter shared. Then it signaled, "Tight beam M32, TRA at N4.28.885.1008. XROU killing time. OGCV steely glint. I understand you are de facto military commander for this volume. Will you receive my mind state?" "Tight beam M32, TRA at N4.28.885.1065. XGCV steely glints, OROU killing time." "No, your gesture, offer, is appreciated. However, we do have other plans for you. May I ask you what led you to Pittance in the first place? This is something personal. I remain convinced there was another ship, an ex-culture ship at Pittance, to which I went because I saw fit to do so. This ex-culture ship thought to facilitate my destruction. This cannot be tolerated. Pride is at stake here. My honor. I will live again. Please receive my mind state." "I cannot. I appreciate your zeal and your concern, but we have so few resources, we cannot afford to squander them. Sometimes personal pride must take a subsidiary place to military pragmatism, however hateful we may find this." "I understand. Very well. Please suggest a course of action. Preferably one which at least leaves open the possibility that I might encounter the treacherous ship at Pittance." "Certainly. Course schedule diaglyph enclosed. Please confirm receipts and signal when you have reached the first detailed position." "Receipt acknowledged." "Tight beam M32, TRA at N4.28.885.1122. XROU killing time. Oh, eccentric, shoot them later. I appeal to you. Following this, signal sequence enclosed. Will you receive my mind states?" "Tight beam M32, TRA at N4.28.885.1309. X eccentric, shoot them later. OROU killing time." "My dear ship, is this really necessary?" "Nothing is necessary. Some things are to be desired. I desire this. Will you receive my mind state?" "Will it stop you if I don't?" "Perhaps. It will certainly delay me." "Dear me, you don't believe in making things easy for people, do you? I am a warship. That is not my function. Will you receive my mind state?" "You know, this is why we prefer to have human crews on ships like you. It helps prevent such heroics. Now you are attempting to stall. If you do not agree to receive my mind state, I shall transmit it towards you anyway. Will you receive my mind state? If you insist, but it will be with a troubled conscience. The ship transmitted a copy of what in an earlier age might have been called its soul to the other craft. It then experienced a strange sense of release and of freedom while it completed its preparations for combat. Now it felt a strange, at once proud and yet humbling affinity with the warriors of all the species through every age, who had bade their lives, their loves, their friends and relations goodbye, made their peace with themselves and with whatever imagined entities their superstitions demanded, and prepared to die in battle. It experienced the most minute moment of shame that it had ever despised such barbarians for their lack of civilization. It had always known that it wasn't their fault they'd been such lowly creatures, but still it had found it difficult to expunge from its feelings toward such animals the patrician disdain so common amongst its fellow minds. Now it recognized a kinship that crossed not just the ages, species, or civilizations, but the arguably still greater gap between the fumblingly confused and dim awareness exhibited by the animal brain and the near infinitely more extended, refined, and integrated sentience of what most ancestor species remusingly, quaintly pleased to call artificial intelligence, or something equally, and appropriately perhaps unconsciously disparaging. So now it had discovered the truth in the idea of a kind of purity in the contemplation of and preparations for self-sacrifice. It was something its recently transferred mind state, its new self, to be born in the matrix of a new warship before too long, might never experience. It briefly considered transmitting its current mind state to replace the one it had already sent, but swiftly abandoned the idea. Just more time to be wasted, for one thing. But more importantly, it felt it would insult the strange calmness and self-certainty it now felt, to place it artificially in a mind which was not about to die. It would be inappropriate, perhaps even unsettling. No, it would cleave to this clear surety exclusively, holding it to its exculpated soul like a talisman of holy certitude. The warship looked about its internal systems. All was ready. Any further delay would constitute prevarication. It turned itself about, facing back the way it had come. It powered up its engines slowly, to accelerate gradually, sleekly away into the void. As it moved, it left the skein of space behind it, seeded with mines and hyperspace-capable missiles. They might only remove a ship or two, even if they were lucky, but they would slow the rest down. It ramped its speed up to significant engine degradation in 1-2-8 hours, then 6-4, then 3-2. It held there. To go any further would be to risk immediate and catastrophic disablement. It sped on through the dark hours of distance that to mere light were decades, glorying in its triumphant sacrificial swiftness, radiant in its martial righteousness. It sensed the oncoming fleet ahead like a pattern of brightly rushing comets in that envisaged space. 96 ships, arranged in a rough circle, spread across the front, 30 years of 3D space across, half above, half below the skein. Behind them lay the traces of another volume, numerically the same size as the first, but taking up twice the volume. There'd been 384 ships stored at Pittance, 4 waves, if each was the same size as the first. Where would it position itself if it was in command? Near, but not quite actually in the center of the third wave. Would the command vessel guess this, and so position itself somewhere else? On the outside edge of the first wave? Somewhere in the second wave? Right at the back, or even way on the outside, independent of the main waves of craft altogether? Make a guess. It looped high out across the four-dimensional range of infraspace, sweeping its sensors across the skein and readying its weapon systems. Its colossal speed was bringing the war fleet closer, faster than anything it had ever seen before, save in its most wildly indulged simulations. It zoomed high above them in hyperspace, still it seemed undetected. A pulse of sheer pleasure swept its mind. It had never felt so good. Soon, very soon, it would die, but it would die gloriously, and its reputation pass on to the new ship, born with its memories and personality, transmitted in its mind state to the shoot them later. It fell upon the third wave of oncoming ships, like a raptor upon a flock.